Hello, and welcome to the 49th Planet Destiny podcast. I just realized we did no prep work aside from setting up the stream today, so we don't have show notes. We got nothing. This is 100% live and unscripted. Fantastic. So I have the chat pulled up on the side here, and it's going crazy. I had never seen the chat that populated and rambunctious. So hello, everyone in our Twitch chat. Yeah, we've been wanting to do this for a long time.
Yeah, we've only talked about this for like 8 months.
we've been talking about it for a long time.
And I wonder if it's just your face cam that's laggy or it's all of ours. I might need to stop my local recording, right?
Yo, it's a trial run. Let's just keep rolling with it.
Just a trial run?
I suppose the first thing we should really talk about here is the microtransaction thing that's been going on this week. So let's go off with the really shitty topic of microtransactions. That's always
too bad Wally isn't here, right?
I know, right?
So what's the deal here? It's $30 and you basically upgrade a character to level, is it 25 or 40?
25.
And you fill up all the nodes on a subclass.
Fill up the bubbles.
Yep. Yeah, for $30.
$30, yep.
One and how much does Taken King currently cost? Like, if you get the full version, you go to the store today and buy the Taken King, does it still cost $60? I heard you can get it for about $30 on Amazon right now.
Yeah, right now you can get it for $30. Yeah, I believe
you're
the full
not
price
the same
is 60.
Version we got. You're getting the deluxe. You're getting the version that has all my blood, sweat, and tears in it.
Not that argument again.
Okay. No, I'm just saying. I'm throwing it out there.
Right. That's an amazing deal, and on the absolute opposite spectrum is the $30 for a 25 level 25 character and a subclass boost.
So
like opposites.
I apologize for immediately doing this, but I needed when I heard about this, I immediately thought of you, Patrick. Okay, what is World of Warcraft charge for their expansion?
World
of Warcraft their expansion. World of Warcraft their expansions
do,
are
right?
typically 40. To it's like $40 to $50, I believe. And if you're going to ask, what does the character boost in WoW cost after that? The character boost to get up to max level is the same price as like the base game. It was $60.
Wow.
But it takes you to max level, though.
Takes you to max level and would give you a full set of gear and would max out one of the talent trees.
So would you...
Would you be raid ready?
No. You would be, there's different tiers of the raid. You could not do the normal version of the raid. You could go into the raid finder version, which is basically like matchmaking for a raid, but it's a very low level version of the raid. But moving back over to Destiny.
Can I offer like a quick point of view here that justifies these things? First of all, nobody has to buy these. Most Destiny players aren't going to buy them because they have no use for them because they already have three maxed out characters anyway. The only people that I think would buy this is somebody who just wants to play with their friends, doesn't have a lot of time. $30 is stupid expensive, but it may be worth it for some people to just be able to, okay, I want to just get a character going and get in with my friends.
Here's the thing. You get one of those character boosts with the Taken King anyway.
Well, you don't get the subclass boost, though.
You don't get the subclass boost, but you get the boost up to level 25.
Yeah.
So,
Briar, I see what you're saying on there, because... From somebody like, let's say you only have 2 hours per weekend to play the game, then and you have disposable income, you have plenty to spend. It would make sense then that you could be like, well, it's an awful deal, but at least I can max out this subclass. And like, let's say you've only been using a hunter from day one, and you've been playing the game since day one, but you have such limited time. This is a chance to start up a warlock or a titan. And, you know, the level 25 thing is weird. It should have been level 40 for that
kind of
money.
It should be level 40.
Like, it's just weird that they put 25 in there. But the subclass thing makes a lot of sense because a lot of times that can be a make or break it type of thing to get into some of these activities, aside from gear.
I still haven't leveled up my Stormcaller subclass on my Warlock.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's like halfway
that doesn't
through.
Mean I'm going to buy one of those things. So that is a absolutely stupid price. I really feel like the only people that are going to buy this are people that don't understand like how easy it is to get level 25 and how inconsequential it is to have.
It's easy to get a level 25 if you got a lot of time on your hands.
Well, yeah. Now I'm going to give you my perspective because because of the refer a friend thing, and I bought another account for my son and another PlayStation, another copy of Destiny, right? So I have two versions of this now, and it came with a boost. Until I wanted to get my son up and running so he could play with me, the boost was extremely successful at making him able to do a lot of the activities that I could do right off the bat and play with mm-hmm. me, an experienced player that has like everything. So I was able to bring him up to speed really quickly so that he could do introductory at 25. He could do introductory levels of the missions, and I didn't have to be at so low a light level that I couldn't have fun. So it kind of met me in the middle in some ways. And I felt mm-hmm. like it really allowed me to get a new player and get him running and not feel like I was burdened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this does go back to the slippery slope discussion that we always seem to go on when we start talking about microtransactions. And when we refer to the slippery slope thing, we're always kind of referencing the pay-to-win side of the game that people think might be coming. And I've seen a lot of people saying that this is pay to win. It's not. It's not. Like a pay to save time function. It's there's a really big post about on Polygon about friction or something. I can't remember. I was really tired when I read it. It's the same thing that happens in PlanetSide 2, where you can grind for 10 to 20 hours and finally have enough in-game currency to buy a gun. Or you can just pay $3 and mm-hmm. get that gun. The thing with the pay-to-win side of the argument that people aren't really understanding is that pay-to-win literally means you pay money and you will be better than someone that puts time into the game.
It's like you could only get the thorn in year one by buying it.
Yeah, something like
and
that.
I think that that's – I spent a lot of time this week thinking about this because, you know, this is what we were worried about. What's up next, you know? I was very staunch in defending Bungie, like, initially, right? I thought there's no way that they're going to go down this. They said it was just a placeholder, no big deal, right? But it feels like we've gone down this track, and we are, like, literally on that slippery slope. But I don't think that this is an example of it, of a pay-to-win. I don't think this is. And I'm not pissed about it, except for the price. I think I'm right with you guys. I'm right there with you. It's stupid expensive. And
if it was like $10, I could. If it was $10, I'd be like, okay, I can, I can almost justify that. I got like, okay, I see that. But then it's still the principle of the matter. You are paying money to save time in the game, and it's just a stepping stone until we're at.
In all things, I do that. I pay a guy to work on my car. I pay a guy to paint my house. I pay a guy to do my roof because I don't have the time to do it. Right. Like time I spend, you know, fixing my car is time I could be, you know, making money at my job or, you know, mm-hmm. spending time with my kids and my family. So there's, you know, life is filled with you pay to save time. Right. It's all about the value of that, of your time, how you monetize that value. And for me, especially when you're talking about a video game, it's monetizing the value of my time spent in a video game. It's pretty low. Right. Like $10, even $10 for. Man, it's hard to justify, you know, spending that kind of money just to level up a character. But, you know, for other people who just want to play with their friends and, you know, they, mm-hmm. they have trouble leveling up their character to get there, I bet they'll sell
these. If it was all three subclasses and level 40 for $10, then it would actually be a value proposition. It would be like, okay, yeah, I could see myself maybe doing that on the Xbox.
I would be even more against that than... I would be absolutely more against that what we currently have. Because right now, like, I'm completely against it for lots of reasons, but that is 100%, it's not pay to win, but it's at the point where it's like, well, why wouldn't I spend that measly amount of money to completely max everything out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you're not getting any gear.
I know you're not getting any gear. That's not really the point. It's the fact that you're saving that much of a time investment, because it is a very big investment to level up, you know, a character at 40 and completely max everything out. What was it that you said you wanted, like, it was all three subclasses or something?
All three subclasses into level 40.
Okay. Like, that's entirely.
Well, if it was $10 and I got all three subclasses, I'd probably go buy one today on Xbox.
I know exactly. I probably would too.
I would just do it because Xbox. My problem with Xbox is I just don't have the time to maintain three characters on PlayStation and Xbox. So Xbox just always gets the fuzzy end of the popsicle. It's just never
fuzzy end of the popsicle.
I just never have time to play it. Like, I'd like to play with all the Xbox One players out there, but I just don't have time to maintain a character over there.
I
agree. With this, I would just do it. $10, I would just do it.
I agree. Yeah.
And that's the thing that I'm scared of, is if they find that perfect price point where people will do that. Oh God. I'm just very fearful that the game will slowly start turning into that. The step will reach more and more of those stepping stones that will have this a very clear pay to win thing, and we'll be going, oh shit, how did we get here?
Yeah, but that's still not pay to win, though. Still not pay to win, even if you unlock all three subclasses.
You still don't
pay to win. You can't
probably do a Nightfall.
Yeah, exactly. Pay to win would be like saying, all right, I'm going to drop $5 and I get 5 exotic engrams. You know? I feel that like
that. Pay to win.
That's pay to win. That's suddenly paying money to get all this exotic engram stuff, or paying to get legendary engrams or a bag of engrams. Like, that's going to be pay to win.
Okay. I'm seeing where you're going, Tefty. I like having some sort of boost, especially since now I'm not as we get further and further into the game, and think about Destiny 2, right? We're going to have level caps in the, you know, going up above 50, 80, 100, right? If you start the game out, you're going to have to find some way of bringing these people up. So I'm fine with the boost.
Yeah, that's true. That's
I'm
true.
Fine with the boost. Like I said, sorry to reiterate it, but I just think the price is stinky. But I am a little concerned because we're hearing rhetoric similar to what we heard at the beginning when we data mined this stuff and said, you know.
Well, the concern is that, like, when Destiny 2 comes out, it's not going to be the full game that we pay for. It's going to be like, hey, here's your entry fee, which is 40 or 50 bucks or, you know, whatever. And then you have to pay $10 for each kind of addition. That's what we're terrified of. And I hope to God that does not happen, because that'd be just awful.
There's clearly something going on. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah. There's clearly something going on. Exactly. There's microtransactions are here to stay. The companies are not going to suddenly be like, guys, what an awful idea. What were we thinking? Yeah. Sorry about all that. Here's all this stuff for free. That's not going to happen anytime soon or ever. So
at least not with this company. CD, there are some that still do it. It's once you kind of go down that road, you got to do something cataclysmic has to happen for you to stop doing that.
Yeah, the player base has to fully disappear. Atrophy or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have to strike as a community, we have to strike a balance with what we're okay with. $30 for a subclass boost is ridiculous. But then again, somebody who only has a couple hours every week to play might be the best thing ever for them.
Well, I think we're also voting, like they were saying about Sparrow Racing League, we're voting with our controllers. I think that you need to kind of extend that. This is the free market system, right? We're voting with our wallets. And I feel like they gave us emotes that were cheap. And then they started going a little more. A little more. I think they're
$10 booklet.
Yeah, they're $10 booklet, and everybody's kind of like, "What? $10 booklet?" And then now they're $30. Then they're like a $30 boost.
$30 character
like,
boost.
Holy crap! So I think that they're like using this. They're going to just keep pushing the price up until we've reached our capacity where we're no longer spending it, right?
Yeah.
So
but yeah. I guess you're right.
I think as a system or economy, they're going to have to back off. They can't keep that price point. We're probably going to hear a discount or a breakdown of that price in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, we hope that's what we can hope for. It's just the scary thing is that what if it goes full on MMO pay structure.
So. There's plenty of microtransactions they can put in this game, though, without having pay to win in there. You know, Counter-Strike Go does it very well. Call of Duty is doing it really well. Like, you can buy all sorts of cosmetic stuff. You can buy a knife that looks differently. Everybody's going crazy in Call of Duty about that butterfly knife, right? It doesn't act any different. You know, you get the same amount of kills with it, you know, but it just looks different. Maybe it's got a little different animation. What would hunters pay? Patrick, what would you pay for a different knife, you know?
Please don't ask that.
Cosmetic.
Please don't expect an answer to that.
A different knife that comes out. When you stab somebody, it is literally different.
It is that different knife.
Please tell me a
glowing green knife or like a hot, like some sort of phosphorescent, like burning fire blade knife for you that you stick into somebody's chest, like, and it's burning and it tears them apart. Oh, yeah. Come on.
Dude, if they had a rainbow knife, I hit them with the rainbow stick.
And it has like a rainbow trail as it goes through the air.
Through the air.
That would be amazing.
You know what would be even better? Earning that through in-game activity instead of just fucking paying for
it. Yep.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, we're seeing Activision and Bungie say we need to make more money on this game. Like they're clearly sending that message to us as Destiny players, right? Mm-hmm. There's no way that they don't find year one to be a sustainable way to make this game. They need to find different ways of dragging the player base forward without selling these, you know, big DLCs. They want to do it through microtransactions. There's tons of ways they can make microtransactions, you know, and they can look to other Activision properties the way they do it. But they got to do it affordably. They got to do it without pissing off the player base. And any microtransaction pisses off the player base. Every single one of them. It doesn't matter what they offer. It's going to piss off the player base, especially since it hasn't been there since day one. People feel like they've been
pissed off people.
Like defrauded.
I don't know. I'd probably throw money at my screen if they gave me shaders and skins for my guns.
I would like to earn it.
Yeah, I'd love to earn it. But
I like both options.
So
I don't like both options.
Well, why couldn't they exist in the same environment? Why can't you have rewards that if you play?
I wouldn't mind it, to be honest. I mean, if I could get some of my friends in that can only play a tenth of what I've played, I'd prefer it.
Patrick, can we talk about something that's in the change subjects? Go to the weekly update and talk about something you can do with your friends. On. Speaking of loot. It's dropping like mana from heaven in Sparrow Racing League.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, oh my god. it is so cool.
Basically, Sparrow Racing League is how loot drops in like Diablo and those types of games. Like it's just constant barrage of loot. You get a thing. Oh, you've been playing for your third game. Here's a shader. Hey, Bungie, you know what would be really cool? If the loot system was like this in everything in the game.
Let's say, what do we like? What do we like about
Sparrow? I like Sparrow the new Racing shaders. League. I love the Sparrow Racing League shaders. They're awesome. Mm-hmm.
That guy needs to get a raise, right?
What?
The guy who designed the Sparrow Racing League shaders needs
What are you talking about? He had like a year vacation. We haven't seen that guy since.
He needs a raise. Whoever designed them is just like, I love every one of them. They're freaking awesome.
Hope, I don't know what you're talking about. Those shaders were originally put into year one and they didn't even get put.
That shipped on disc. That was on disc.
Shipped on disc.
Come on. Like, I want to stay positive. Sparrow Racing for me is something exciting.
In the bright pink shader is the best experience.
Putting a pink shader on a Titan who's got these gigantic shoulders and a mohawk helmet, and you're telling me pink doesn't look amazing?
And you got to match it with the Sparrow, so you got to have the pink Sparrow to go with it.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
I absolutely love that pink shader because I just want polka dots they're just so bright. They're so bright, and then you see them at the end of a hallway, and it makes it so easy to shoot them in the face in PvP if they're wearing that pink shader. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I love the pink shader. I feel like a real man when I wear that thing.
It's not pink, it's salmon.
I also like that you're getting 320 helmets out of it. I like that you can get
320 gear. Class items as well.
What's that? Yep. I like that you can get like arms, legs, and chest, but they don't have, you know, they're valuable for racing, but they don't have any other value to them, right? Like you're not going to bring those into the Crucible because they basically be you're just wasting.
But the cool thing about it is that you're getting helmets that have like Angel of Mercy, right?
Yeah, you can absolutely bring those into the Crucible.
Yeah, so there are some of the, I think that some of the perks coming down off of the Sparrow Racing League armor is cool. It's really good.
And farming three of coins with Sparrow Racing, I think this is just as fast as actually when we started farming three of coins and we were just like loading the same boss over and over again.
Yeah,
it's about the same rate that I'm using three of coins at this point.
Sounds about like, right. Yeah.
It is very quick because you're done with a race in like 4 or 5 minutes. And
isn't there a cooldown? We were trying to guess what it is. Like you do a race and then you can't. So you use up a three of coins, right? And is it one or two races that you have to do before you can activate it again?
The thing is, you can activate it back to back to back, and you can get them back to back to back. The cooldown is just it reduces the chances of you getting it.
Okay,
I've been really unlucky with it, by the way.
Really,
so my exotic drops. It's like one out of every 15 3 of coins. It's kind of driving me crazy.
All right, I don't want to tell you.
Friday and Saturday.
Pope, your RNG needs to go to the trash bin.
I've already gotten all the exotics from doing
this. Stop soaking it up for everybody.
Sorry.
On Friday and Saturday, I played a lot of Sparrow Racing on Friday, and then Saturday I played a lot of Trials, and I was using 3 of coins like crazy, right? I just went to Xur and bought a snot load of them.
Sure.
And I was using them like every match, and I got like 10 exotic Engrams over the 2 days.
Oh my God.
Insane.
Not me, man.
Nope.
No Twilight Garrison, though. RIP.
33 a coin, like 2 or 3 exotics. That was it.
Really?
Yeah. I got shafted.
Sucks to be you.
Yep.
So what I there's a couple things that I also felt were really cool about Sparrow Racing League is that you could bring all your friends in, right? You could bring up to 6 people in. Mm-hmm. And is it just me or has the matchmaking in that gotten really difficult? Like there's some sweaty races going on right now. Like
you see the top times and weekly update. I mean, people are going through there fast.
Yeah, no, cool. I'm running. Yeah. It's rubbing is racing. Like you're. I think they're using Crucible matchmaking right now, and you're getting to point. Yeah, it's nuts. Like the faster I get, like I'm matching up against people that all of a sudden that pack of people that are bumping into each other, they're all similar skill level to me, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's harder to break away from the pack than it was mm-hmm. at the beginning.
I actually wait. Anytime I do a Sparrow race, I just let everyone take off, and then I go like a second or two after that because I'm tired of bumping around and then getting careened into something and then getting put even further back. So I just kind of wait for everyone to
try and
for everyone else to mess up, and then I get in that second place.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch nice. the Bungie Bounty?
No,
I did not. No,
it was.
I didn't get a chance to watch it.
It was really cool. I'm glad that they brought it back. Thankfully, well, I mean, Deej wasn't racing. He was in the sitting in the middle of the couch, and he was rotating.
He was racing at the start.
Well, he raced a little bit at the end, but for the bulk of it, he was bringing in people that we could meet from the studio, which I thought was really cool. And
that is cool.
Yeah, and I think they gave out a lot of shaders. Or
is that VOD on their Twitch channel?
Emblems.
What's yeah, that? There's probably a VOD out of it.
Yeah,
they're doing it with Xbox too on the 22nd.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Next week. Yep,
nice. It's good. It's good.
Did anybody watch King Italian and Bromance?
No, like, I missed that one.
The streamer tournament.
Oh
thing.
My god, that was amazing. This is what custom games could bring to Destiny because it really showed off being able to set up custom games. They had 4 brackets of 6 people each, and they just set them up in a tournament. It was exciting to follow your favorite streamer through the tournament. They were able to, you know, start the matches when they wanted to start them, which was good for broadcasting. Mm-hmm. Right. And they were able to live commentate over the matches. It was
who was doing it was the
future
commentary?
Of Destiny, Broman and King Gathalion.
Oh, that's gonna be funny.
It was funny. It was very funny. They did a good job. Everybody had to wear like aviator glasses. They were all dressed up. T-Rex was wearing like big ass goggles that like a World War II player pilot would have worn.
Yeah.
It was funny. It was they did it. It was well presented, but it also showed off like if they brought custom games or private matches into the Crucible at large, like the future is endless, man. It'd be so much fun.
It would explode.
Yeah.
It'd be every weekend as a tournament.
Yeah.
And it'd be exciting to watch.
Yeah. It is like exciting to watch.
Really need this.
Yeah.
Why do you think League of Legends is like one of the top viewed things on Twitch every single day? It's because there's tournaments going on.
I'm pretty sure there must be boobies in that game because I don't get it otherwise.
That's boobies in the jungle. Go
that's
look.
That's the only reason why.
Yeah, that's what's in that goddamn jungle.
I watched hours of League of Legends, but I don't find any. What's going on? That's so funny.
It's true, though. I mean, Destiny is I feel like it reached a boiling point, and that's why as soon as we got a Sparrow Racing mode that could have people actually queue up against each other properly, it was like immediate, and it was immediately successful also for those guys. I think, didn't Gathalion tweet out that there was like 50,000 follows in overall in the Destiny directory?
It's 40 or 60,000. I can't remember the exact number, but that many more new follows created during that time because people
just from that tournament that they put together.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it is something that we absolutely need as a community and as
we need to
just for like streamers alone, like the kind of ability to make it vibrant or be even more vibrant than what it is already would just be incredible.
Yeah.
Bungie, please.
Don't you want to see your favorite streamers all like get into one like Royal Rumble death match and just fight it out till the end? Like, I want to see that. That'd be fun as hell to watch.
You could have a Planet Destiny tournament.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. God, that would be good. Great.
We would gladly host it too. If you could do it in an easier method. It's like, I love competitive matchmaking. I would love to be able to be like, hey, my competitive team is on. I would love to be able to go against other competitive teams right now in a competitive type list.
Right.
And then, so then you know what you're getting into. And then when my regular clanmates are on who maybe haven't set foot in PvP in the past 3 or 4 weeks and are rusty as hell, they don't want to go into PvP and then just get headshotted from across the map by a guy wielding No Land Beyond for the entire map.
So what do you want, like a ranked playlist and an unranked playlist?
Yeah, sure. We can go with that. The interesting thing with the matchmaking is that this is information that I've gleaned from Crucible Playbook subreddit because they've been researching it a little bit. Apparently, players are getting matched up more based upon their skill and location isn't being taken into account as much anymore. Mm-hmm. Every time I play, I am seeing more like yellow and red bars because I'm getting matched against people in like Europe, people in Japan.
See that if the player base gets smaller though, because the pool for so as the player base has moved to Black Ops 3 to Fallout 4 to other games to Sparrow Racing, your pool is getting smaller and therefore spread out more. You got less water and it's spread out more across the planet. So you're just going to see worse connections.
I just have such a difficult time believing that the player base is so thin that 100% of the non-competitive players are going to play Sparrow Racing League and all of the competitive players are going to play normal Crucible, thus causing the gap.
Well, Destiny took, because Call of Duty had such a bad year last year with Advanced Warfare, Destiny ate up a lot of those players. And now Call of Duty is back. And a lot of those players have gone back. You know, a lot of those people basically took a year off Call of Duty and came to Destiny and now are going back to Black Ops 3. And those are the competitive players. Those are the people you're going to find the Crucible the most, right? They didn't play, they didn't raid, they didn't, do Nightfalls. They were in there to play Crucible. That's what they were missing from their Call of Duty stuff. That's why I came to Destiny. I just didn't go back. I mean, you're definitely going to see the player base move on. And, Destiny's not offering anything new right now. So they're not going to come back until Destiny does.
I think it's got to be a combination of both. I feel like the algorithms for matchmaking maybe have some sort of thresholds of how they handle it, depending on the numbers that are in the population. So maybe we're experiencing the feel of a different algorithm because the numbers have shifted to a different threshold.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucks, but it's also part of the reality. I do also think, though, that the actual networking that they've done, and I've mentioned this in the last podcast, that the actual peer-to-peer code that they've written feels like it's old. It just...
Yeah.
Other games don't have these problems.
See, I feel like it got better with the Taken King. When the Taken King came out, I feel like it got better. It's never going to be perfect. It's peer-to-peer. But I feel like it got better.
I mean, it's a green bar, and a guy shoots, it snipes me, and I have enough time to walk around the corner, to have my orb around the corner. And it's a green bar? Like, what? That makes no sense.
Well, have you guys experienced lagging in the Sparrow Racing?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The fan blades. Really, those fan blades.
Mm-hmm.
The glitch.
Those fan sliders just twitch a bunch. They just wave at you a bunch.
In front of you, and then they'll back 4 feet, and then come back back 4 feet, and you're like, whoa, which way do I go? And they hit the boost.
And suddenly an ogre shows up and detonates.
Ogre teleports. Is that too soon?
Racing my sparrow.
Just a heads up, in the weekly update, you still have a few days. If you're listening into the chat right now, to submit a video in consideration for the Sparrow Racing League Film Festival. There's some pretty sweet loot. They showed it on the live broadcast yesterday. They have a PS4 and an actual PS4 copy of the game. Some really cool stuff that they're giving away to the winners of the Sparrow Racing League Film Festival. So make sure if you've got a need for speed. Thank you. You push it out there and get a video going for that.
What's the popular Fast and Furious?
Fast and Furious.
Do like a trailer overdub with Sparrow Racing. Well, I think that would be awesome.
So the next item on this weekly update is go out with a bang. After hours after Amanda takes down the flags for her, wait for it, holiday event. Ba-dum-psh. The Honorable Saladin.
Did Cosmo write that?
He has to have.
That had to have been Cosmo.
Yeah, because Deej wouldn't go cheesy like that.
Deej would. No, no. That was Cosmo.
That had to be Cosmo. Anyway, so I guess the Iron Banner's back. So we finish up with the Sparrow Racing League and we get Iron Banner. I know what I'm excited about, but there's some.
Better matchmaking and people to shoot at instead of racing sparrows.
Okay, Patrick's out of this conversation.
I'm sorry.
Iron Banner is the epitome, though, of bad peer to peer connections for me.
All right, stop. Briar, what are you excited about?
I want to get my hands on that auto rifle.
Thank you.
I want to see if the shotgun is real. It looks like Felwinter's Lie. I'm hoping it's not Felwinter's Lie. Mm-hmm. That Titan helmet looks boss. The little thing on the top.
Uh-huh. It does.
I'm not going to lie. I am a PlayStation user, and the PlayStation exclusive gear looks pretty good.
It's so nice, man.
For all right. The Xbox users, if I get anything on the PlayStation, I will dismantle it for you. So it's a there little sacrifice.
There you go. Yeah, I'm so glad fine. You're willing to make that sacrifice.
You make that sacrifice.
I don't mind. I don't mind.
That Titan helmet looks amazing. It reminds me of the Guardian or the Protector from Thor. You know, the one that was made of metal and fire inside. The helmet looks like that, and I don't know. I have to have it. I'm going to be grinding just mad amounts of Iron Banner.
I finally made a decision this week. I had to start getting rid of Vault of Glass and Crow Design raid gear. Like, I just had to start deleting it. I'm sad. Oh. I don't want to. Oh. Vault of Glass especially.
Me too. I deleted a lot of year one stuff this week.
I'm really looking forward to getting that auto rifle too, and I don't know. It's the gear for me that's going to do it. I got to have it.
Yeah. That's what brings me to the Iron Banner. I always want that gear.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to get something, turn in those bounties, whatever, get the gear. Ultimately, though, I'm probably going to go back to the Mighty Multi-Tool. So, like, on one end, it's awesome to get the gear, sure, but it's probably not going to change what I use.
So it's the Destroyer, chat. Let us know. It's called the Destroyer.
The auto rifle is?
No, the helmet.
Oh, sector, okay.
Yeah, the helmet looks like the Destroyer.
Because that would make a good name for basically any of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what was it? There was like the class item, the Mantle of Inmost Light or something like that. So dramatic sounding.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Iron Banner starts 10 a.m. Pacific, Tuesday, December 29th. And the game returning will be Control.
Yeah, it's going back to no.
Why?
No.
Why did they do Rift? Or
I want to see done Rift.
It would have been so great. End of the year, Rift, Iron Banner. I'd have been like, okay, so the guy, I shot the guy, he didn't die. Whatever, it's Rift. Let's have some fun.
Let's go do Rift.
But instead, I'm just going to be like.
Whatever, it's Rift, the match will be over in like 5 minutes anyway.
Yeah, fast.
Because the lagging team, you know, they just cap it so quick. Right.
Yeah.
So we get the boots at rank 3, the helmet and auto rifle at rank 4, and the shoddy at rank 5.
Nope, I have no reason to get to rank 5.
So while you're playing it, I don't think we're going to get the same loot drop system as Sparrow Racing League, unfortunately. But there are going to be some post game drops, and rank 2 will get the helmets. Rank 3 you'll be available for class items and auto rifles, and rank 4 shotguns.
I like playing Iron Banner. It's casual to me. I jump in there solo. Every once in a while I'll jump in there with a team of like, you know, a fairly large team. But I find that it's more frustrating with a team because I feel like I get worse connections as a team than when I just jump in there casually and start messing around.
Because everyone's from around the country, and then you're having to pick people from an even wider net to come play you, and then you're just going to get a bunch of red bars. Mm-hmm. You got Christmas lights going on the side of the screen.
Yeah, but I'm trying hard. Trials is there for that, you know, but Iron Banner is just more of a, I'm just messing around here, grinding out loot.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Trials, how did you guys like the Drifter map?
I liked it. Cool. I thought it was fun
this week.
Yeah, I had to adjust.
Garbage.
You didn't like it, huh?
Never want to see it again.
Really? Could you elaborate on that, please, Sir Tefty?
I mean, if you're going up against a try-hard team, you might as well switch to shotguns in Shade Step or whatever. I mean, it was... there's a counter to this. Widow's Court is the sniper's epitome. So all the people who like to use shotguns complain about that. So I do see that. So I am more... I prefer the sniper. I will switch to a shotgun if needed, but I felt like it was just a bad map for Trials. Just a bad map for Trials. It shouldn't come back in rotation.
I had fun. I felt like you could snipe on that map. You could shotgun on that map. We had a run. I think we lost on our seventh win, but we just went Telesto only. Nobody could use anything but Telestos. That was super
Telesto
fun.
Telesto was deadly on that map.
Yeah, because you had those tight corridors. That was super fun. I had a great time. I liked how it had that big open area in the middle, but then those corridors around the edges that were real tight and claustrophobic. But there were multiple routes to flank. It was fun. I had a good time in that map.
I absolutely love this map because of the flanking. Really? Of the flanking possibilities. Yeah. Like, a lot of teams, they would just kind of go into the top middle or bottom area or just go into straight middle. And there were so many routes to get behind them kind of. And even like in the top area, there were those little cross channels that you can kind of juke people in. They're like, oh, he's coming up on me. Oh, wait, he's actually in the below tunnel. And you like loop back up around behind him and throw a trip mine against the wall. And I don't know. It was a very interesting
really
map.
Good. Yeah, Tremont's really great for that map.
I really liked the upgraded Striker Titan too, so I was flying around the map with Striker Titan and just matching people with my pistol.
I ate a few shoulder charges this week.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen normally in Trials. Yeah. I ate quite a few shoulder charges.
I liked it. I liked the map, but I felt that when people were maybe outclassed a little bit, like they were starting to feel like they were losing the map, they turtled up in their spawn. Or some teams just that was their strategy. And it's frustrating because it just makes, you know, they lose anyway, but they lose and it takes a really long time. Like the games are boring to me. So they sit there and they will peek out and wait for that one lucky shot and then I'll rush, right? Or they just sit there and then they'll rush the spawn point. I don't know. It just was a strategy that I felt made the game slow and not fun. But when I felt like I was coming up against other teams that were setting up for different activities, you know, they're setting up in different areas or different zones, I liked Drifter for that. But, you know, you had to have a mixture of maybe one sniper and a couple shotties. I felt like you had to kind of mix up your team.
Or Telesto.
Here's my feeling. Here's why. We won most of the games doing the Trials carries. And so I'm not complaining about, didn't get to the lighthouse or anything like that. We took people to the lighthouse. The fact is, when you get to the sweaty matches, it gets boiled down to if you run aggressive, shotgun-heavy playstyle, you have a favorable place on that map. And I don't like to run that way. So... for me, I'm not gonna enjoy that.
Right.
So somebody that would complain
about Widow's Court, right, because it's a sniper heavy map, would like this one, right? So it's a trade off.
Yeah, exactly. It is a trade off, and I have to be like, I do consider that. I just feel like if you are a high skilled player running with a team of aggressive shotgun people, like you have a serious advantage in that map because it was very easy to get around the map and dodge. Well, I mean, we went up against like a couple teams that had some aggressive shotgun action, and I prefer to snipe. But that being said, like, it shouldn't be that only snipers can prevail in the game because that's not right either.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
Well, three out of four beards agree that Drifter is a good map.
I guess I get this. I never want to see Drifter again. Thank you very much.
I could see it again. I enjoyed it. I thought that I didn't enjoy it, but I enjoyed that it challenged me to change my play style, and I put on a shotgun for the first time in a long time.
Dirty.
Wow.
You dirty Pope Bear.
Can we talk a little bit about the like kind of the current meta of the Crucible right now? What are you guys thinking? I've heard a lot of people complaining that they don't like it right now. And I'm having like the time of my life, and I don't understand the disconnect.
Well, if this meta would just like not have the last word or surprisingly Thorn,
it's back.
I think this meta would be fantastic.
Thorn is back.
In normal Crucible, I haven't raged that hard since pre-Taken King, when I ran up against a team where three people were using Thorn. And just seeing that flash of green on my screen again and hearing that hiss and watching my health not regenerate.
So it's not the same Thorn that it was, though.
It's not the same Thorn, but it still pisses me off because of what it used to be, plus the fact that it's a dot and my health can't regen, and that has absolutely no place being in the game on a primary weapon when the health pools are as they are in this game.
Yeah, Bungie, it's almost like having a two-shot headshot.
Bungo, why you do this?
Bungo, why you do this to us? To me, the real like resurgence was Last Word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Last Word's everywhere, especially Sniper Last Word.
Yeah,
everybody's running Sniper Last Word. But I don't know. I don't find it that hard to overcome. It's like there's kind of this middle distance where you can really kind of you can exploit both.
Yeah, that's what I find too. I mean, last night playing Skirmish, it was like, I'd switch in and out of Last Word and Mida Multitool. And actually, I tried the Hawksaw as well. I had a different Hawksaw that I had not pulled out of the vault and was trying that out. And, you know, it's surprisingly balanced at the moment, but Last Word and Mida have some definite advantages.
I feel like the biggest advantage with Last Word is just the maneuverability, and you're just a little harder to hit than other people.
With Mida?
You strafe that much faster back and forth. People just have a harder time kind of following up with those shots. That's my experience with Mida. It doesn't feel like it's killing faster than other guns.
Yeah, I think Mida is like the quintessential exotic, and I feel like it represents what exotic should be. An exotic perk that helps the player in a unique way, but doesn't give them a bonus to their damage.
The Last Word isn't as bad as it was in year one. It's not the scout rifle it was in year one.
And
you know, it's a more reasonable gun.
However, the first curse is now a scout rifle.
Yeah, it is.
It's incredible.
I don't have any experience with it.
Pope, I wanted to go back to what you just said about Mida. I was thinking, like, what does Destiny really, really need right now? And one of the things that I saw Wally put out was that video on, like, a extra or like being able to make more orbs using a Night Stalker build plus Dragon's Breath or something like that. And then he put out another one with Invective. Right now, there's no real builds that you can do per se. Like you can have a build where you will make more orbs like for your team. But aside from very, very just off the wall builds, there's no customizability where it's like, hey, I really like playing, you know, as this really mobile type character, and so you use the Mida Multitool. But there's not a lot of random builds that you can do similar to other games of this scope. Like, just look at Bloodborne. I was playing that a ton yesterday, and I ended up replaying it because I wanted to do like a different build so I could use this one particular weapon. I think it'd be really cool if the exotic weapons could kind of amplify the specific talents and builds that we have in some ways. Because like right now we can go like high agility and Mida or something like that, and just more along those lines.
Yeah, I also feel like something like Fabian's strategy could have taken a step in that direction and been locked into something that was with your subclass. Mm-hmm. And if we started seeing more exotics that were tied into subclass traits to amplify them or enhance them in some way, then there really is build viable loadouts that you can start making.
We really are close to having them, like where some Defender Titans are using
No backup plans and a shotgun.
Yeah. No backup plans and a shotgun. Like that's a very obvious build.
That's a good one.
But there's other ones with like a higher impact sniper and weapons of light in PvP. Yeah. You know, it's cheap as hell, but it is still a build that you are actively choosing to go for.
Also, Night Stalker mixed in with Keen Scout and the Mida, and you put max agility, your top speed is ridiculous. Like, it is insane. And you have that increased map awareness. It's really awesome.
Yep. It's a very, like, I want to see more from that in Destiny. Because right now, we're so close to having it.
Because you're so close to having an overpowered subclass. Like, I mean, just a hair, you know? Like, even once you start getting that Keen Stout with the Mida multi-tool, like, all of a sudden you got these guys that are just flying around the map. You know,
The counter to that is to get to that max agility as a hunter, you either have to not have max armor or not have max recovery. So either you're going to be taking slightly less damage or you're going to be taking a lot more damage to be able to recover faster.
Like, damage. So armor in the Crucible is not that big.
It's not that big of a deal, but it is big enough deal when you add in burns from some subclasses or Thorn.
There's like
it's
four a big deal or five.
Pulse rifles. Pulse rifles are still a pretty big deal when it comes to armor. It is a choice. Trip mines are a thing. You know, you will die or you won't die based on your armor selection. So it is there. So yeah,
it's there, but it's not.
But it's not huge.
Yeah, it's not a huge difference.
I mean, it's something that we're gonna have to walk down with year two. Or, I mean, with Destiny 2 when it eventually comes out and if Bungie starts going in that direction, do they make it a more complicated system? Or do they stick with what they have and be a little more broader to digest? Because that's ultimately the trade-off, is that our systems get more complex and the game becomes more complex to understand, or we have something that's a little more casual focused. Because, I mean, Destiny is on the casual side.
I think we can have both, at least in terms of exotics. That's one of the things that I think needs to be expanded on in the game right now, is just exotics in general. We have exotics that either are the definition of an exotic weapon, like Dragon's Breath or, you know, No Land Beyond, these very unique weapons in both their design principles and how they actually play. And then we have, and so then that exists in kind of one pile right there. And then we have the Mida multi-tool type weapon that can help you define that play style. And I'd like to see, not necessarily a separation of the weapons just into those two, but a more defined line between, like, this is a unique weapon like Dragon's Breath. It's going to do this one particular thing that's pretty cool, yada yada. It feels exotic. And there's this other type that you can really kind of play around with and work it into your play style to then make a build off of it.
They're testing that out with class specific exotics, and it's going to be interesting to see if they, in Destiny 2 or in maybe, if we get more, you know, exotic guns like this that are tied to a class, are you guys in favor of that or no?
I like it. I think it's fun.
I like the experiment, and I like how they very clearly tried to not make those exotics overpowered in any sense. And it's unfortunate that Tlolak is overpowered, but only when you have your super up. Like, it's one of the absolute best weapons in the game. Like, it's easily in the top three when you have the super up. Outside of that, it's just another scout rifle.
Yeah. Scout rifles are in a good place right now, though. I think the whole meta is in a good place really right good. Now. You know, like, I can succeed with Monte Carlo. I can succeed with, you know, auto rifles, hand cannons, every gun, every primary weapon in the game right now I can succeed with.
I love that. I love that.
I like that too.
So you know what?
That wasn't the case 4 months ago.
I've been playing a lot of Crucible, just rotating the guns. Like, I've been ranking up guns that I normally would just shard. And I tweeted out about it yesterday. Last night I got one of the worst heavy machine guns you could ever get. It's a Diluvian, like,
oh yeah, I know 10. That
Diluvian 10x slash, yeah, you're like 10/4x
after the what's the rocket launcher we get all the time, the Diluvian. I got, and the only thing that caught my eye is that it had counterbalance and persistence on it, and I'm like, my doctrine of passing has those. Let me see if it has what else it has. And I opened it up. It had braced frame, It had persistence, and it had it had that counterbalance.
It's a hot piece of junk.
So it was a hot piece of junk. So I looked at it, and I'm like, I'll rank it up. So it has exactly the same perks as the Doctrine of Passing. I took it into Crucible, and it had the fastest time to kill of any machine gun I've brought into Crucible. I'm telling you,
it's really good.
It is insane, and so I've. Because now more guns are viable, I'm taking a look at their base stats and their perks before I delete them, because I'm finding these kind of jewels that I normally, no matter what the perk system, that heavy machine gun was toast against any rocket launcher. So why even bother? So, but now, auto rifles, I'm looking at them. Counterbalance, if they have crowd control, I'm a big fan of crowd control.
And you know what would make that whole system even better? If we got more drops, if they just dropped more, so then it's like, oh, I got these five auto rifles. I got these five different weapons today. Let's look at it. Yeah. Oh, that one might be cool. That one might be cool. Sure. And then maybe, just maybe, if it didn't take like, it takes 20 motes if you on a primary weapon if you have a telemetry active. I think it's like 40 if you don't. I think it's like 14 on a secondary and then 11 on a whatever. If it took less motes to actually level those things, or maybe if the quest XP actually applied to the weapon, so if you have a full grip of 16 bounties, put it in there, maybe more than like half of the first bubble gets leveled up.
Can we title this
250 motes?
Yeah, wow. The Salty Patrick podcast.
It just triggered something in me. I'm sorry.
Honestly, you get so much more armor right now. It's ridiculous. Yeah, you do. You get pieces of armor to every one weapon.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's really insane.
I've been getting some pretty good drops this week. Real good. Out of the challenge mode.
Yeah. Challenge
mode.
That's what I was going to talk about. Hey, thank you, Briar. So challenge mode came out. Tefty, yeah, you and I did that right when it went live. And
we sure did.
We had to bang our head against the wall for about an hour and 30 minutes trying to figure out what the challenge mode. It was about an hour and a half before we finally conceded to the chat and said, okay, I guess we'll try the 16 orb strategy.
It used to crash the game.
Ninja fixed it.
Yeah, they did. And then
it used to crash the game on older consoles. Didn't crash the game on newer gen. But it was just funny because like I remember very clearly stating in the chat, like, it's not going to be 16 orbs. There's no way they'd do that. Yeah. We're not going to try it. And some guy ended up going into, I think it was Giggle Monster's Twitch, said, hey, we completed it. We used 16 orbs. And then he did it, and it worked. And I was just like, oh, God damn it. No.
You know what's funny is that we did that. So we did it after the fact. My team did it on Wednesday after everybody. We already knew the strat, so we weren't worrying about it. We went through, and we beat it on the first try. And it was crazy. Like, I think that our strategy of doing Oryx was harder than the 16 orb strat.
Yeah, this is great.
And like, the only thing that you really have to be aware of is, you know, have enough special or heavy to kill the Shade of Oryx in between every round.
Whatever that freaking gun is, the auto scout rifle.
Touch mouse.
We just put two guys up on the top pillar with a Titan bubble that's got blessing. So that they can just keep dipping in and out of the light. They never have to stop firing. And they just blow those ogres out of the water. The guys on the platforms down below don't even fire on their ogres. They just sit way back, wait for their knights to fire, come up, two-shot their knights, and then jump up to the platforms. No adds ever shoot the guys on the platforms because they haven't shot. They haven't drawn any aggro on anything on the map. Because those guys, those two guys up there with Touch of Malice can kill those ogres so fast. They don't have to throw grenades. They don't have to shoot them with snipers. Mm-hmm. They just sit there and watch them die.
Have you tried it with the perk that's on the helmets called like Take That or something? I have it on my Titan, and it increases precision damage against I think Taken as well. Yeah. And nice. I believe the ogres count as Taken.
They're Taken, right?
They count as Taken even though they don't look Taken. But it basically, if you have Touch of Malice, it's like a crit will do like 3,000 damage, and the extra damage procs kind of like Hive Disruptor did. It'll be like 2,600 as well. It's like, What? You annihilate those ogres if you have that take that thing proc'd as well.
So again, Holtz and I, we were in a team of raiders that have raided before in season.
It was the Solarity clan.
We
just ran with our normal clan.
I did the Tower Talk podcast and talked about how it was easy. We all talked about how it was easy mode. Robbie hadn't done it yet. And then the following, right after that, then Robbie and I decided to raid, and we invited some subs in to play with us. And it did not go good.
It didn't go good.
What
was happening?
There was from glitches from the ogres transferring.
I've heard a lot about that.
There is
some reason.
Yep. To just
coordination between everybody making sure the ogres die fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of little things added up to being a very difficult situation. That it was night and day. When we did it, it was like we could have done 8 ogres.
Those ogres were dead before their standing up animations were finished in our runs.
It was so quick. The timing and the damage that was being dealt was just like immediate. We just knocked it out. And then with a team that hadn't raided together before, we were like, "Yeah, let's do this." It did not go anywhere near that easy, and we weren't able to finish it because my internet eventually died because Comcast was giving me le shaft.
So Comcast was being Comcast? That's not news.
Comcast was Comcast to me. Amazing, right?
Yeah, amazing.
So it was interesting having the two perspectives. Like one team just being filthy, destroying it immediately. And then another team experiencing what might be what a common LFG group is going to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to experience that side of it. And it's a dark side, guys.
It's not a happy place.
I run three times a week on stream. I didn't do it today, but I do it 3 times a week. I bring subscribers through the raid or viewers through the raid. And you never know. You could have somebody who just cannot stay alive on a platform. You can have people up top that just can't kill ogres fast enough. You can have runner that's too fucking slow. Like the guy just doesn't get to that brand fast enough. He doesn't get to the middle fast enough. So you got a bunch of guardians waiting in the middle for the brand to come. Like it's tougher when you don't have a well-oiled machine. And that's I think where challenge mode, the disconnect between the 1% and the 99% that we were talking about a few weeks ago, that's a big disconnect in challenge modes.
Mm-hmm. And one of the other interesting things is you guys know, like I think it was 2 weeks ago before the patch went live, someone soloed Oryx. And then once the patch came out, Fusion Rifle or Sleeper Simulant got like a really weird stealth nerf where you couldn't just like charge fire. You couldn't do it quickly. It was charge fire, and then you had to wait an invisible like half second to second. And that just that extra amount of time that you had to wait, you weren't able to stagger Oryx anymore. So you had to perfectly time your Sleeper Simulant shots to cause him to stagger. And that means you had to use 3 shots, which means you had to get even more heavy ammo during the whole deal. So, turns out someone finally sold it again yesterday. I can't remember his name. I'm sorry. Again, after the patch, even after everyone theorized that it couldn't be done. So
there is a definite divide between teams that raid together often.
Sure.
And LFG a lot more than I think Vault of Glass and Crotozent are experienced. I think the divide is wider on this because the mechanics are more complex. And I like King's Fall. I think it's a great raid. It's my favorite raid. But in terms of streaming, I preferred streaming Vault of Glass and Crotozent more.
It was easier.
You have to have so much more gun skill or just general thumb skill in aiming in King's Fall than you. Yeah. Than you do.
I don't even find it that. I have to be an active participant in most of the fights in King's Fall. In the other raids, when I was streaming, I could be half paying attention to chat and half paying attention to what basically my team was doing. I just had to stay alive. In King's Fall, I have to be an active participant. And often, I have to be driving the action. Like, if I'm on a weak team, I have to be, like, really
hurt. You have to hurt.
You got to be calling shots.
Yeah. You got to be calling shots.
Now, you got to explain mechanics. You got to say, why did that happen? This is why. Like, here's how to prevent it.
Yeah. And like often, like when we're dying on Oryx, I'm quizzing people. Okay, what happened? What killed you?
There you go.
The acolyte eye in the middle killed me. I'm like, okay, make sure you back up all the way to the back of your platform. You know, just kneel there. Don't shoot at the adds because that just draws aggro to you. And as soon as he gets the light up top, make sure you're jumping up to the top, you know, and that usually solves it. But you got to do that for like everybody in an LFG.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that also what's frustrating for some people is that they see the loot that's dropping.
Oh, it's big.
Oh my gosh. Like the calcified fragment, the 50th, mm-hmm. you know, calcified fragment drops and yep. you get.
And we get a shader.
Well, I mean,
swanky ass shader from Eris.
We don't know yet. Mm-hmm.
What's that?
It's possible we could get more. We don't know yet.
There might be a time gate.
So yeah. We've got a shader.
On your Titan?
On my Titan.
It looks good on a Titan. It looks great on a Titan. On a Hunter. Yeah. It looks horrible
yeah,
on a Hunter.
Yeah, it's awful on a Hunter.
Briar and I
it's
happy.
Bad Halloween on a Hunter.
Yeah, I'm happy.
So, and then the ship.
The Holy ship smokes. Is so slick.
That looks
that
sweet.
Ship looked awesome.
That looks yeah.
sweet. When we had a fleet of those ships in the loading screen, it looked like, we were like, oh my God, we're like Battlestar Galactica right now. This looks awesome.
And in the past, there's always been two ships for raids. So yes, could we get a Harrowed version of that
ooh,
ship somehow?
A black one and all black one, so then it's black. Completely stealth in space.
That would
can't
be
see it.
Sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm
cool
want that.
I'm cool with it.
I've been getting hardboat helmets dropping at 320. Primary weapons dropping at
320. Briar, did you get a 320 helmet?
I got one.
I didn't get a single one. I'm so pissed off because the challenge is going away. It's going to be War Priest again next week. I got to wait 3 weeks. Oh, my God.
I got a 320 helmet, but I didn't get a single weapon. I think that was the thing. It's like you either get armor, you get a 320 piece of armor or a 320 weapon. You don't get like both of them.
I got two auto rifles and a hand cannon. I wanted to be like, really?
Really? That is the worst that could have happened.
Oh, my God. I got the...
Well,
Hefty,
why aren't you happy? They got a
.04% increase in that damage.
0.04 increase.
Oh my god!
0.07
that's
increase.
My question.
Well, just shredding those patrol enemies.
And I'm gonna respond to that in just a second because I think that buff was perfect for the auto rifles. But
yeah.
Yes, I do. So I'm gonna go back to that. But I got some pretty sweet. Loot for that.
I'm not surprised.
That doesn't surprise me either.
I got a helmet, obviously, and then I got a scout rifle, 320 scout. I found that the challenge mode was satisfying for me for Oryx. Like I feel like it disappointed for the first fight. Golgoroth was, you know,
was right on the money. That was a good challenge. I think the Oryx one. Is also a good challenge because
if it doesn't lag, if it's legit, I think that if it's legit, however, whatever they had to do to the code to fix it so that it wouldn't crash the game,
cause more lag,
cause them to teleport. I think that's my argument.
If you're running into that stuff, there's tricks you can use to try and mitigate it a little bit. You know, go back out to orbit, try and change the fire team leader.
Do that kind of stuff and see if it. Yeah.
You guys think it's possible that we're just going up against more sweaty AI?
It could be. Oh, you know, there's less AI.
The AI are playing other games.
Well, see that's the typical. That's what you do. And when you're launching a war against someone, you send in the pawns first. Sure. So the first part of this expansion, we were facing the ogres that were just out of basic training. Now we're getting the ones that got. You know they've leveled up. They got they've leveled up their ogre subclass.
I think you're forgetting how long it took us to beat those ogres the first time.
They paid $30 virtual to have that subclass maxed out, so they didn't have to spend time to then go up against
us.
So I think Oryx is actually the taken version of these is actually the pay to win version of these characters.
That's right. Yeah. And that's why LFG is going to be pissed off right now. The challenge mode,
right.
Sweaty AI.
Those damn sweaty AI. Sweaty AI.
So now we've seen all the challenge modes. What do you guys think in total? Like, you know, was it a success? Was it a failure? What would you change for the next raid?
I'll go first here. I think overall, challenge mode was a success in the same way Prison of Elders was a success.
So it was an abysmal failure.
No. We learned a lot of really good shit. We learned a lot of really good shit from Prison of Elders. You have to admit that.
All right.
We learned a lot of really good stuff from there. I think we learned a lot of really good stuff from challenge modes as well. People like the idea of guaranteed loot from challenge modes for doing a specific task. I think everyone can agree with that. And especially since the guaranteed part of that loot is like max level loot when we have this current system in place. people liked that it was like, it wasn't, you didn't have to go against a super god mode Golgoroth when you went against Golgoroth that week. Like, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't a huge tank any more than he currently was. You could either do the challenge or not. So the challenge itself was optional. I think that's a really good thing to take away from it as well. It would be really nice if there was some sort of confirmation during the fight about the actual challenge, because there was that huge confusion with War Priest during the during the first week.
I agree with most of that. I think that the mystery, and actually the best thing about challenge mode is for raid teams that have raided together and have chosen to go in blind the first time and then get to go into the challenge mode blind and actually figure it out. So if you got to do that, I actually think that's the most satisfying part of the challenge. Is that, hey, this is something that you've done. You're aware of the mechanics. Now figure out, now figure out a specific way to do it to get the special loot and reward. And for me, that was the most fun part about it when we were doing that on the night it opened. If I had done it and heard about, oh, you just have to do the 16 orb strategy, it would have been a lot more gas just kind of let out for me on the challenge mode. I would have been like, well, all right. I mean, cool. So I think in that sense of, like, you've been raiding with your team, you've built a team of raiders that you all connect with, you know, and then getting to do this challenge with something that you've already done before, that's exciting. And yeah, the loot's fantastic. So I like that. I don't want that to change in the future. But aside from that, they need to maybe change the name of it slightly.
to denote that it's not a challenge in the way that it could be more difficult, but it's a different task to a different way to complete the boss.
Versus the stream was talking about it being called mission mode. Like, here's your mission in the raid. Do this a specific way. And I was like, that makes sense. Because there's other teams that just absolutely wipe it, and then there's going to be LFG teams that have a difficulty with it. And everything in between. Some LFGs are going to knock it out right away. So,
yeah, I was on an LFG that knocked it out of the park first try. So, you never know. You can usually tell, though, if Golgoroth goes down in 3 damage cycles, you can usually tell, like, okay, these guys are
good. Yeah, you can tell, like, in the opening fight, trying to get into War Priest, if, like, everyone keeps dying, you're like, oh, okay, it's going to be one of those runs. Like,
the problem is, if I'm streaming, that is usually my fault.
So we've got...
I'm reading the chat while I'm supposed to be running down to take that... that totem.
Wow, Briar. Wow, is this regular raid group, Briar? God.
Wow. I would like to actually see him change the challenge modes quite a bit. I would like to see better gear drop from hard mode and separate the gear from challenge modes. That way the average player wouldn't be feel like they're being left out if they couldn't complete challenge mode. Like if it was just, you know, emblems or shaders or stuff that were coming out of challenge mode, you could hit 320 by going hard mode. I feel like that would free Bungie up to make these things really difficult. And I would like to see that. I would like to see an end game activity that is just a monster to complete. I think it would add longevity to the raid. It would add interest. You know, I think it'd be really fun to see like a really elite level hard mode challenge. But I don't think they can do that. They'll make too many people upset if they tie it to getting the good gear. Like right now, the only really reasonable way to get the 320 is by completing those challenge modes, and to cover that behind something that's really difficult, I don't think works. But if they were just to give us the good gear at 320 or give us the good gear from regular hard mode, you know, instead of this crappy RNG that we'd be getting, and then give us a shader or something for completing challenge mode, I think that would work. And I would like to see it be a lot more difficult than it is.
Yeah, I can agree with that too. Definitely. That is one of the things that I think they could have touched on a little more, make it a little more difficult. But if they did that, I really think if they wanted to see that level of difficulty, they might have to do like a separate version of the raid. If I could take just a small second, guys. Oh. Control Freak sent me a bunch of stuff to test, and I got to test it out. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have used their products. I got some Control Freaks a while back to use with like my scuff to protect the thumbsticks a little bit more, and I really like them. So if you guys are interested in some, we're going to be doing a giveaway. So yeah, I'm probably going to end up giving all these away because I'm using the FPS Galaxies, which were originally designed for Destiny. So yeah, it's a shameless plug. I see what's going on in the chat there. It's a shameless plug, yeah. Now, I use the Galaxies on my Xbox One. I'm going to keep those and not give them away. But yeah, we're going to be giving away some of the PS4 stuff. We can probably give away a little bit more, tell the guys at Control Freak to send some stuff out. Probably give them away once we post this to YouTube. And we'll do like giveaway in the comments section. Like if you reply in the comments section of the YouTube post of this, if you want some of these, we got like some grips for the controller. We got some the CQC signatures, the FPS free galaxies for PS4, and some other neat stuff. If you guys want to try it out, go for it. If you have a scuff or if you just don't want your thumbsticks to fall apart, it's a nice way to kind of protect those. That completely derailed the conversation. We'll get better at that as time goes on.
Damn. That plug.
Jesus Christ.
We just went to a commercial break.
We should have something change. We should have something change in like the comments every time. Be like, Bungo, please nerf last word to enter in the comments or something like that.
Oh, Jesus, no.
Okay, sorry. Not that.
Hashtag save the hammers. That's my personal suggestion.
Save the hammers.
Save the hammers.
Save get the out hammers. Of here.
I'm with Briar on that one.
Both of you guys, get out of here.
All right, Pope, I'm sorry I interrupted you before.
I was going to see if we could spend some time talking to the chat, maybe bring up some questions from Twitter.
I got a whole bunch of Twitter questions, and if we want to salt in some chat questions as well, chat, if you want to ask some questions, we'll try and get them in here too.
I'll copy and paste any chat questions that I deem worthy. So,
all right.
I know you guys have been asking them for the entire time, but just go ahead and keep asking them.
I think this is the best question I've seen all night, actually. Jeff McLean at jeff.stake says, yeah, why are you doing this and not watching Star Wars?
My God. Can I tell my story? Can I tell my story?
You can tell your story. You can tell your
story. Respect again, you might want to keep it to yourself.
All right. Well, so don't hate me, but I had plans tonight to stream this, and it was really important to me to do that. But an hour before I was about to leave work to come home, and I got a call. A friend of mine said, hey, I have 4 tickets, a private streaming of Star Wars tonight at 7. 2 of them are for you. Bring your son. Let's go. But, you know, I'm like, no, I have commitments. You know, I got to stream at 6:30, so I turned them down. This was a private showing. Private theater would have been amazing. Custom, like, you know, just catered. I'm an idiot, but
sounds like
I love
you turned
guys.
Down a rich friend, by the way, right?
A little bit.
That sounds like a rich friend.
We would have forgiven you. The show would have gone on without you.
All I'm saying is that I turned them down for you guys.
Aww. and not just us three here, us other three here, everyone in the chat, he turned down to see Star Wars.
Oh, I thought he was looking like right at me when he said that. Was taking it personally.
Like deep into the soul.
Looking
like,
at you.
You know, like goes,
I'm looking at you and
like resonates deep within your chest. Yeah, yeah, wow. I felt that too.
All right,
so this one is a little bit hostile. But I thought it was actually a strong enough question that I was going to put it on here. So Bezio at Mobile Fun Games, why most of the people said in the Planet Destiny podcast that they will not be okay if Bungie sells non-cosmetic microtransactions, but when Bungie started selling them, they are immediately okay with them being sold. So he's basically asking, why are we okay with Bungie selling non-cosmetic transactions after we said we wouldn't be?
I remember that from the Twitter from Twitter messages. He's calling us out basically directly. Yeah, yeah, earlier in the year we said that we were okay as long as they didn't do this, and then now they're doing it. And why are you okay with it now? Does anybody want to take this?
Well, okay, I'll take it. I'll take a stab. Mainly. Right now, they're not, like I said, they're not giving engrams. Like, you can't buy a pack of exotic engrams. Mm-hmm. That's different from getting sparrows, in my opinion, because you can't take the sparrow into the raid right now and knock out the war priest with your sparrow skills.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe you guys not can. Yet. Maybe you guys can. Not me. I have not personally.
The legend
been able
himself
to do that.
Hasn't tried it yet, but soon.
Right? So they're definitely getting real close and warm and uncomfortable to the zone. But for me, they haven't passed over to that zone of being like, okay, like I said, like the engram packs or unlock all of the missions so you get the rewards for a price. Like, that would be ridiculous. I feel like that is pay to win, or is in that, like, paying money to get those rewards.
Hmm. Yeah. See, for me, the whole thing was, like, I will admit I don't like the fact that they are already so quickly stepping away from the cosmetic side of things. But we still aren't at the point where it's, you know, 100% a pay-to-win thing. I do not support the fact that they're moving away from cosmetic stuff only in it.
Well, ultimately, we're not Bungie. We don't get to make this decision. It doesn't matter what we think or say. They're going to do what they want. So what input do you think that we're giving Bungie that our opinions matter here?
Well,
yeah, we're not going to end the podcast and be like, no more episodes of the podcast. Yeah,
that's it. I've had it.
Yo, this is
selling sparrows. Yeah.
Yo, I'm quitting playing Destiny. We're done. I'm shutting down the channel.
Lethos is one of our subscribers in the chat. He says, it's not like we can stop it. So the question becomes, where do you draw the line? And
right here.
Right here is that I draw the line when I get killed by something that I have to pay for.
Yeah.
That's where I draw the line. That's
right.
If I get killed by – if they sell – the next Destiny 2's version of Thorn is sold by Tess for $199. That's where I'll draw the line. Under these current prices, it would be $30.
Your $30 Thorn enhancement package to show that you really care about how big your e-peen is. Mm-hmm. And you can pay for a $10 virtual pill that will increase your critical damage for 24 hours.
So that's
cause a set of truck nuts to swing from the front of Thorn, too.
Truck nuts. Yep. Hey, that's a cosmetic thing I'd pay for.
Have truck nuts hanging off the back of your sparrow.
If I could have like little fuzzy dice on my sparrow, I'd throw money at that.
Hell yeah.
Oh my God. Love somebody it. Needs to make an image of that. That'd be hilarious. Agent right. Orange, I'm Agent Orange, ask any advice for those with limited time to play? Pretty much, what do you feel is the best use of our time to get gear?
Sparrow Racing League.
Sparrow Racing
right now. Yeah.
I still say it's the Vanguard Strike playlist. I think you get a ton of legendaries. You build them up really quick. Once you can afford to buy 3 of coins, start buying those and using those. And I think you're still going to take some time, but I think you can build up a character pretty quick in there.
Yeah.
And then you want to get into the raid. As soon as you can, get into the raid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely feels like those heroic strikes are the biggest payoff for time investment.
I don't even think you got to go into the heroic ones. I think you can do just the. Yeah.
I feel like you get more, don't you?
I haven't noticed that I get more if I do them. I feel like it just takes longer to get through them.
Yeah, I don't. I found there's no difference, but maybe it's just me. Really? I have no statistical evidence, but like when I'm
Hope Bear is RNG blessed.
I do get.
Yeah, your RNG is legend, man. Like people look up to be one day. I'll be a grown up guardian and have. Hope Bear's RNG. One day. Here's hoping, guys.
Hey, they owed me. It was 35 days before I got the Galahorn. So
35 days
played time. Played. You should clear that up.
Played time. Wow, that's insane.
Mine was 1,500 hours. How many days is that?
I don't know.
Math.
I need to find
probably
out.
Probably
right
somewhere
now.
Around that.
On the fly here. While Tefty's doing the math over there.
I got shafted pretty hard on that. So
let's get into the question. Simo ZX says, despite year 2's event focus, do you believe raid and story content will exist?
Oh my God!
62 days.
I did not see a number that high coming.
62.5. If that was a weapon balance change, it would have gotten rounded up to 63.
Come on.
That's bad RNG, right?
That was awful RNG, right? Yeah. What the hell?
Right, you deserved. I mean, if you had gotten it with that beard and the Galahorn, you would have been unstoppable. So, it was the game thus, leveling the playing field.
Thus, my year one legend has not become renowned. So,
Yeah, you missed that opportunity. Sorry,
missed.
So, year 2's event focus. Do you believe raid and story content will exist?
Yes, I. That would be so unbelievably foolish of them to not have any further development of the story. We cannot last a whole year without any story or any new raid or anything like that. We absolutely
cannot.
I think
if it doesn't come out by the time that The Division comes out.
Yep.
Dear Santa, please bring me to GTX 980 Ti for Christmas, please.
Please bring me a computer that costs more than my car by a significant factor.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Bretto March Stand at Bretto March Stand says, thoughts on Iron Banner PlayStation exclusives? I am looking forward to being a PlayStation 4 player and getting it, but yeah. I don't like that Xbox One users aren't getting this stuff.
You know what the big problem with it is? And this is why what we talked about with Wally. It's that it's a whole year.
Yeah.
The year is stupid. It really is stupid. A month, it's like, all right, well, at least you're going to see it in a month. That's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, you'll get it next Iron Banner. There you go.
Yeah.
Call of Duty but a had year? It right I mean, for 30 days between Xbox to PlayStation was 30 days, and it was decent. It was doable. You didn't get the newness, the new hotness that you got when it was just coming out. So that was the bonus. You got the new hotness, you know?
No. You know what was awesome? Pope was having that game on both consoles, playing it for a month on the Xbox 360, then jumping on the PS3 when everybody was still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Just good gameplays came out of that, my friend. Good
that is it. I'm
gross
telling you.
Grats.
Oh yeah.
Damn.
Oh yeah. You
it's
get
like
that,
jump,
you,
it's like jumping grats. Into the classic playlist in Destiny where like a bunch got a little got a bunch of level 14s running around. They're like, what's that? God. What's that weapon that's two-shotting me? Oh, this is Hawkmoon, my dear.
They're like, I'm creepy. Selling this game. Bye-bye.
All right. Time's Vengeance at the MQ9 Reaper says, King's Fall is a solid raid, but what makes the Vault of Glass the raid standard in Destiny? I would imagine that we might have some disagreements on the basis of this question.
Yeah, that's a really tough one. You know what I said earlier about the streamability? Like, I think King's Fall is a fantastic example of a raid, and it's my favorite. But in terms of replayability and streamability, Vault of Glass takes the cake. And then Crota's End is actually more streamable than King's Fall, in my opinion. So
yeah. That's a specific viewpoint that not everybody's going to have to look at.
No, totally. I'm definitely gonna have a skewed view on that. But there's something really balanced with the fact that you can jump in, or you were able to jump in to Vault of Glass and play it, play with guys that maybe had never played it, only played it a few times, and you were almost always guaranteed to get through it. Almost always.
Generally,
it was like an 80 to 90%.
If that person, if you could, you know, teach that person, then yeah, like it was more
when you
teaching.
Could predict who was gonna get. Teleported at the end during the Atheon fight to Mars or Venus. Once they changed that up, I felt like it got a little harder for LFGs when they randomized the teleporting.
I think that King's Fall has become the new standard for raids. So I challenge the question, the base of the question. I think that that's the new level. Yeah, I liked Vault of Glass, don't get me wrong, but I like King's Fall better.
It's she's like your first girlfriend, you know. You'll always remember her, but
she was
not
cute.
Necessarily the one
she
you married.
She was cute, right? But, you know, I got kids with this one, you know. So
Crota's End is like the crazy one that you'll never forget, but
man,
definitely
she
didn't marry
her.
But she stuck around way too fucking long.
I need to meet her fast. I mean, I don't know about you guys right now, but I could really use a Crota's End in my life.
you want to run past three lantern faces? Three lanterns? Is that what you're saying? Sorry, that was a very obscure joke.
I didn't even realize I did this, but I got another question from the same guy, Times of Vengeance at the MQ9 Reaper. What are your thoughts on how weapons are performing in the Crucible? We kind of touched on this. What do you guys think? You like it? You dislike it? Short answers here.
I haven't played enough to not dislike it.
Outside of Thorn and Last Word, it's performing really well. I think the slower rate of fire pulse rifles like Ludmilla, Spare Change, need to have their damage bumped up just a hair because there's no point in using them right now. Aside from that, we're in a very, very balanced state overall, I think.
All right. Let's see here. Matt at Zero Slash. Do you think Bungie has a plan after the Taken King's release, large DLC-wise, or are they kind of stalling until Destiny 2 is ready?
That was answered in last week's weekly update.
Yeah, the answer to that is that we are going to get a content drop that is going to be larger than we've seen, but not as large as Taken King, but larger than what we've seen. So something probably looking like The Dark Below.
I think that's the kind of the size that we're throwing around is around dark below size. We'll probably get
a lot to assume, I think.
Yeah, it is a lot.
It's such a wide variable.
Yeah,
there is a huge
variable. It might be a raid, it might not be.
Mm-hmm.
The train might be going 3 miles an hour, or it may be going 200.
Yeah, but somewhere between that.
You'll be able to jump on that train.
Yeah, the train might have a card, or it might have 20 cards. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
We do not know. The Off Deviant asks, what kind of – would we like to see more NPCs in the tower and out on patrol? And, what kind of NPCs?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I
patrol.
Patrol sure.
NPCs patrol. Just like oh. that. It felt like it was missing right away. Like mm-hmm. we got into this like open world as a stretch, you know, but we got into this kind of big area and then there was nothing in there. You're like, what? Wait a minute. I expected much more out of the patrol areas in Vanilla Destiny. I still expect more out of them.
Agreed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I think NPCs would be amazing.
Yeah,
I would love to see that.
And I'd like,
you know, just conversations, yeah. all sorts of stuff mm-hmm. we could do with that.
What I'd really like to see is, WoW, there are these kind of, the world feels more alive because, like, you'll just be kind of like tooling around, then all of a sudden you see a bunch of mobs attacking this thing. You go over there, and the mob is everything's attacking is something friendly, and you're like, oh, let's see what happens. And you kill everything, and then that mob, like, goes, oh, hey, thanks for helping me. And it'll give you like a quest or something. Like random events like that out in the world would be really cool. Like you find a random NPC guardian who's getting completely overwhelmed by, by fallen captains or something right there. And if you go kill all of them really quickly, then you can maybe he'll give you a quest to like go find a thing and that'll lead to things and
exotic quests. It'd be so cool if you got your exotic quest lines from doing that in from the NPC in the patrol. I think it would be cool, yes.
Mm-hmm. I got one from chat here. From Infrared Arrow, do you think Bungie will patch challenges to include 320 class items and ghosts as drops? You keep getting shafted by totems and sisters for class items and ghost shells. And do we really need three 320 artifacts? Come on.
I don't think we really need artifacts. I think they're completely true. They're just a made-up piece of RNG that they, if they had some kind of physical representation on our character or if they serve some purpose, I would like them, but they don't do anything. So as long as I have a 321 equipped, I'm happy. What's that?
They allow you to make more orbs.
They allow you to make more orbs if you have like that weapon that has elemental damage on it so you can actually land that precision shot to maybe spawn that orb. That
some of them are like grenade kills with
solar. Some are grenade kills. Yeah, I seem to only get precision. I get like precision void, which is great because my 1,000-yard stare was void. So until I got the 320 artifact, that was good. But then once I got that, I'm on solar melee kills now or something.
Yeah.
So
I feel like a lot of it's like a stepping stone for Bungie getting more and more towards an RPG MMO. Like it feels like they're like, we kind of need this. And now it's in there. We're kind of like, do we really need this? And they're like, well, we are making RPG.
Yeah. At the start of Taken King, I was like down for like how they kind of separated the armors into like solar, void, and arc. But now that I'm playing, I don't really like it because I switch between my subclasses so often. You know, like if I'm playing a Titan, I'll switch between all three of them like at random, you know, based on the mood I'm in. So I don't really like having to collect armor sets for each of those. It feels a lot like in Prison of Elders where the first, you know, at first you're like, do I have to collect an armor set for each of the different races in the Prison of Elders? I don't want to do that. So yeah. I'm kind of like, I don't like this actually. I kind of want to see that go away. Keith Ford at Hobo That Way. Are you guys disappointed in the 50 calcified frag reward?
We don't know.
We don't
know. Ultimately yet.
I am right now.
I am right now because we have that blueprint thing there, and everyone thought like, oh, 50 fragments. That would totally make sense to open up some sort of quest line, to immediately open up a quest line, not if it's time gated or whatever. Yeah. If that wasn't there, then I'd probably be like, oh, well, it's a shader. I guess I still would want something more.
We did already get an exotic weapon for 47.
Yeah.
45.
Sorry. Yeah.
And so this is my prediction, and it's I think it's going to be in the 21st of every month. They did the 7th with the sleeper cell or sleeper simulant. I think it's going to be the 21st because 3 times 7. Bungie loves 7, and they're slot for 3s now with Destiny. So if you have 50 fragments, December 21st, that's my. I'm wagering my bet.
It's going to be a new like a story mission with a side.
I think it's going to be exotic quest line.
Cool. Oh, you think it's going to be an exotic quest line that shows up in the tower?
That thing could be a bug as well. Like just that thing because that thing don't only showed.
Break my only, heart, Holtz.
It just showed up when you bought Mida Multitool. Like that was it. Right, you bought Mida, and then that new thing showed up. I'm like, that's weird.
I mean, we've seen in the past that they've opened up. You know, they've time gated these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's entirely possible that on Tuesday we'll find out there's some additional thing.
Yeah,
I wouldn't get your hopes up. I wouldn't count on it. You know, don't get disappointed if it doesn't happen. Be surprised if it does.
If it is just a dirty ass package from Aeris Morn with like a 283 armor thing in there and a shader.
You'd be that's glad about your 3 legendary marks.
A dirty ass package from
seriously, she's like, here's this shader. Looks ugly on Hunters, beautiful on Titans. And here's a 286 armor or a class piece. Are you happy?
I mean,
like,
I
no Aeris.
All right. What else we got? Matthew Perry. Hey, Matthew Perry follows up.
Hey, Matthew Perry.
Oh, my God.
It's the such Matthew Perry.
Such a fan.
The last word in Mida are very prevalent in the Crucible. Do you foresee a nerf?
Not for Mida. Not for Mida. I see some rebalancing for Last Word, probably.
What would you do to it, specifically?
That's something for someone who actually uses the Last Word more than me. I do not use it enough to accurately talk about it. That's the safest response I can give to that.
Okay. Anybody else got anything they want to add to this?
For the Last Word, what would I do with it?
The Last Word and Mida are very prevalent in the Crucible. Do you foresee a nerf?
No. I think they're in a good place. I think that they're exotic for a reason. They're going to be used. I think that some of the other weapons can be balanced around it. But there needs to be more of a... I think that the only one that I wouldn't put those two together. I would put Last Word different than that. I think there needs to be an adjustment to Last Word in its range. And that's it. The range is back to being stupid. So
I was using it last night and I was dealing that to a few people with some crazy distance on the Last Word, and I was like, that's a little much. But again, the gun shouldn't be in the garbage. It shouldn't be in the garbage.
It's exotic.
So yeah, pull back in the range.
All right, this is the last Twitter question I have for the day. It's David Nedich at David Bean Jammin. Are you upset that emotes are possible Nightfall rewards instead of real gear?
No, I was excited.
I know. I'm happy too because it just means I don't have to buy them.
I got it. That's what I think they should do. I think they should have everything everything that is eligible to be sold should be at some point in the RNG drop system, whether it's rare or not. But it should be something that you don't have to buy. You can earn in game. I don't think there should be anything that you should have to spend money on. But if you want it quicker, you can buy it.
Ugh.
I know you and I are going to disagree, but we're going to already talk about that. But
we're going to disagree on that. But can those emotes drop if you already have them?
Every time I've gotten a drop of an emote, I've gotten it twice. It's been emotes that I did not have from it's a 2015 package, and it's been one that I didn't have.
Okay,
so maybe that's luck, but I already had like 90% of them. So,
what if this is like your first time running the Nightfall or something, and you were really looking forward to getting an actual piece of loot, and you get a stupid sparrow horn or something? Okay,
let's face it, you're better off using 3 of coins in the Vanguard Strike playlist than you are doing a Nightfall. If you want rewards.
Yes. Oh yeah,
you're wasting your time in the Nightfall.
That's true, but I mean, still, some people can't farm 3 of coins. They don't have enough strange coins to buy enough 3 of coins.
You know how you get more strange coins?
Then
run the Nightfall.
Run
the Nightfall, and you may get like 20, which will yield quite a bit.
So regular strikes, though. Regular strikes.
Yeah, regular strikes. They drop like candy too. They drop from the Crucible all the time too.
Yeah,
I run out every week. I buy 3 coins. I like buy all the 3 coins I can, and then by the next week I have like 200 strange coins.
Well, to be honest with you, I rather get three of coins in the Nightfall and then use them to get exotics. Exotic engrams, like, it's, think about it. If you do the Nightfall, you're going to get maybe one exotic, right? Mm-hmm. You get 23 of coins, you're probably going to get at least three.
Hopefully. That? Hopefully. I used, I think it was 20 this week and only got one.
It's RNG.
Yeah, it's RNG, so it goes in waves. The Off Deviant asks, do you feel like the shortcuts in Sparrow Racing are worth it? I feel like I end up losing my position because I choose to take a shortcut. You guys have
some are. Real?
Yeah, basically, I got no comment on it. It comes down to, like, do I have max charges on my Sparrow? Am I going the maximum speed that I could possibly go right now? And so, if you're going max speed, then yes, taking that shortcut is generally going to be worth it because you'll usually miss one or two gates, but it'll put you in enough position that you should be able to hit another gate and then get regain your boost speed. Yeah. So, yes, it is worth taking them, but only if you're at max charges already.
Some
if
of
you're
them,
not, then no.
It depends on the shortcut. It's like it's really situational because some of the shortcuts, like if you take it, you avoid like a couple of really tricky turns, and mm-hmm. it sets you up perfectly for the next gate. Other ones, it seems like you're just as fast going around those turns if you can.
Situational. The one on Mars where you go over the jump instead of going like through the tunnel and then bending really right.
Yeah, that one's
like
bad.
Going under through the tunnel, just don't even take that one. That one's not even worth taking because you can, right when you go through the boost gate, just tap the right thumbstick to, you know, boost yourself to the right, and you'll immediately be going max speed straight line right up the ramp.
That's a pro tip that actually took me a while to learn in Sparrow Racing is to, when you're cornering, to be using those thumbsticks mm-hmm. to make yourself turn faster. Like, you really corner on a dime. Like, if you're in the middle of a turn and then click that thumbstick mm-hmm. on the left-hand side, you'll be like, you'll just like, boop, like whip around. It's a really good tip.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's not intuitive. Like, you wouldn't think about it until...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it for Twitter questions. We got anything more coming from...
I got nothing else from that I took out from the chat. Anyone else have anything?
I got to say that I really like doing this live.
Live, guys, was really fun.
Yeah.
If you want to see more of these, make sure you comment on that video and let us know that you want to see more of them live.
GG, well played. GG, no re. All right, guys. This was the 49th Planet Destiny podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in to our first trial run of streaming it.
Yeah.
I think it went well. If you guys want to find me
live.
A few hiccups, you know, I'm getting the layout down. It'll get a little better, but yeah.
Well, we'll get better at this, guys. So thank you so much. You guys are awesome. I'm Patrick Casey. You know where to find me. I'm on the YouTubes. I'm on the Twitters at Holtzman_PD. You can find me places.
I agree. Totally. You guys are awesome. You can find me at on Twitter at The Briar Rabbit, on YouTube on The Briar Rabbit channel, or streaming right here on the Planet Destiny Twitch page.
Oh, yeah. I am Tefty Teft. You can talk to me at Teft on Twitter. You can catch the streams that I do for Planet Destiny, which is going to be coming up real soon because I do the Zer stream tonight. So you guys might want to stick around for that if you don't have plans. Then also stream on my personal channel as well, twitch.tv/Tefty Teft.
And this has been Pope Bear. You can always find me on Twitter at Pope Bear. I do a lot of conversations there that help this podcast and generate questions and move the conversation forward. So make sure you guys follow and are involved in that conversation throughout the week.
Very good. Oh, he's a kitty. It's a kitty. It ain't a Twitch chat without a kitty. He's like, dude, put me down.
He's pissed. He's been sleeping underneath the desk the whole time.
He's like, why did you do this to me?
Put me down.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you next time. Hopefully, I think we'll try to do the 50th podcast live as well. So we can get that 50th podcast anniversary hype going. Bye, guys.